Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst, and I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri. You're listening to a podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history. Today's podcast is episode number 210, and I'm recording this on May 5th, 2010. Well, today I wanted to talk a little bit about a project that I've been doing since the beginning of the year. It's my 365 project. And just to kind of describe the project at the start here, a 365 project is a project in which you try and take one picture each day for the entire year. And I wanted to do this for the last couple years, but was kind of worried that I wouldn't be consistent and wouldn't be able to get it done. So I kind of put it off, but I decided that 2010 was the right year for me to try this. So I began doing this on January 1st of 2010, and I'm about a third of the way through the project. I believe the picture that I uploaded yesterday was picture 122, so I thought I'd kind of give a little update, some things that I've learned about myself as a photographer, and just some tips if you would like to do a 365 project, or even if you want to just kind of check it out a little bit. I do have to say that I really have been enjoying the project. I was a little bit worried that there wouldn't be enough items to take pictures of throughout the year. You know, once each day, you got to find something each day to take a picture of. But it's gone really well, and I would like to have a little disclaimer here at the beginning of the podcast. There have been 2 days that I forgot to take a picture. I just went to bed and completely forgot about taking a picture that day. And what I decided to do instead of just stopping the project was on those two instances, and I think one was in January and one was maybe in February. What I did was I took a picture of something that I could have taken a picture of the day before. So sometimes you get to the end of the day and you haven't taken a picture. I'll just kind of go around and find something unusual in my house, or you know, maybe it's something that we have, you know, hanging on our wall, or a different perspective of something in our house. So on days that I did forget, those 2 days that I forgot, I just went back and took a picture of something that I could have taken a picture of the night before if I would have remembered. So I have missed 2 days, but I haven't let that deter me. I just, you know, kind of said, hey, missed 2 days. We're just going to keep going, and felt pretty good about it. I'm going to go through some tips that I have learned as I've gone through the project myself. And the first one, number one, is that not all days are equal. And what I mean by that is some days it's kind of a struggle to find a picture. You know, you're kind of towards the end of the day and you have to find something. But what I have found is that you can look at ordinary objects in a much different way or a different perspective. And so that's helped me out a little bit. Taking, you know, extreme close-up pictures of something that's very common in the house or outside in the yard. You know, just recently I took a picture of a piece of like a water droplet that was on a leaf, and that picture turned out really cool. So just kind of looking at things from a different perspective. But then you also have other days where you have, you know, possibly 50 pictures that would be really cool pictures of the day, but you can only pick one. So, for example, recently I took my daughter to the spring Nebraska football game, and we're big Husker fans in our family, and it was really cool for me to be able to take her to her first game at Memorial Stadium and stuff. And so for that particular day, I mean, there could have been 50 pictures that I would have loved to use, but I just picked, you know, I'm only able to pick one. And then some days, you know, we might not be doing a lot of unusual stuff. There might not be a lot of opportunity for unique photos. And so then you kind of struggle to find a really good one that kind of represents the day. So not all days are equal, but that's kind of cool. You got to just pick one on some of those days where you have a lot of stuff. The second thing is that I tend to look at things a little bit more artistically now, which is kind of a neat side effect, I guess. You know, I try to really look for things that maybe stand out as far as color or different kinds of contrast, or, you know, could I possibly take a picture from a different perspective? How can I compose the photo? So that's kind of been a neat add-on that I've kind of, I guess, become a little bit more artistic. And I mean, I don't think that I'm some like professional photographer or anything, but it has kind of allowed me to look at things in a different lens. The third thing is that my cell phone has been extremely helpful in this project. The camera that I typically carry around is a Canon PowerShot, and it's a I think it was about $150 when I bought it several years ago. And it's been a great camera. I love the camera, but I don't always have it on me. It's not like a super slim camera you can just stick in your pocket and walk around with on a normal basis. So having a cell phone camera to be able to participate in this project is a huge advantage. The cell phone that I currently carry is a Droid, and it has a beautiful camera embedded into it. I think it takes 6-megapixel pictures, and you can zoom in a little bit, and it has a flash and things like that. So I've taken quite a few pictures with my cell phone, and that's really nice because there's quite a few times when I'm somewhere and I'm like, oh, that'd be a cool picture, and I just take out my phone and am able to take it right there. And then from my phone, I can, you know, post it directly onto Twitter. I can put it onto my blog. I can put it on, send it to somebody on Gmail. There's tons of stuff I can do with it. I would encourage you, if you do a 365 project, to have some way to put them up online so that you could share it with people. And it doesn't have to be public. I mean, you can put it on Flickr, for example, and just have friends and family view it if you want to do that. I do use Flickr to post my 365 project, and I'm a huge Flickr fan. I love it. Some of the benefits, I think, of putting your 365 project up on Flickr are that you can add quite a bit of description to it, and I typically try to put, like 2 or 3 sentences along with each picture so that I can go back and kind of remember why I took that picture or why I thought that picture was interesting for that particular day. If you want, you can also put your photos on a map using Flickr, so you can, at the end of the year, see where your 365 pictures came from. You can also add notes to it or comments and even annotations. So like in a couple of my photographs, I've annotated it so that if you roll over with the mouse, you can get a little bit more information about what's in that photo, which is kind of neat for friends and people that look at it if they want a little bit more information. Also from Flickr, if you'd like to add it to a blog, it's really easy. You can just register a blog, and then above each picture, you can just put add to a blog, and it'll pretty much instantly add it to the blog, and you could have a photo blog for all your 365 projects. The other thing that I plan on doing with the pictures is I'm going to create a book, a photo book. We created some photo books for family for Christmas using Lulu, L-U-L-U, and they did a beautiful job of creating some photo books. And so I'm already in the process of creating that photo book as the year goes on, so you don't have to wait until the end of the year to put all this stuff together. I've got probably about 50 or 60 pictures up already, and I put a little description next to them so that I can go back and look and see, again, why I took that picture that day. And so at the end of the year, I'm going to print a nice little, kind of like a coffee table book of all the pictures that I've taken throughout the year. So kind of a neat way to be able to share it. Then I could print that off, make multiple copies, and give it to my parents if they want a copy of it, things like that. It's been kind of fun to do the 365 project. I've had a lot of comments from family members and friends that go to Flickr and check the picture of the day. Every once in a while, I do put a tweet out on Twitter. It just says, hey, my 365 picture of the day was this, and then I put a little link there. And then also it's kind of become, you know, part of the culture of our family. People are like, oh, you know, is this going to be the picture of the day, or am I going to be included in the picture of the day? So it's just kind of been a fun activity. My dad, who was a newspaper photographer for a while, he has already told me that he really enjoys the project just looking at it, and he wants to participate in one next year. So if you're kind of curious and you'd like to start, you do not have to wait till the first of the year. You can do a modified 365 project to whatever time frame you wish. You could try it for just a month and take a picture each day for the month of May, each day for the month of June or July, and just kind of see how it goes. You could do it for a summer vacation. So if you're a teacher, maybe you could take a picture every day of summer vacation. Next year, you could start one for just the school year. So there's all different kinds of time frames that you could play with, but I really enjoyed it. It doesn't become, for me, it hasn't become something that's like bothersome or an extra duty. It's kind of fun. I love taking pictures anyway, so it's kind of neat to have an excuse to really take a lot of pictures, and then sharing them's been a really cool experience too. So what I've done on the blog, which again is at www.speakingofhistory.com, is I've taken and embedded the slideshow of my 365 project. So if you are interested in seeing my photographs so far from this year, you can go ahead and check them out. Some are of my kids, some are of, you know, ordinary things that are on my desk at school. Sometimes it's something that I see while I'm driving down the road. Just a whole bunch of different collection of stuff. And I'd be curious, any comments you have, you could post a comment on the Flickr page, or you could leave a comment on the blog as well. Or you could email me at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. So that's my update on the 365 project. I plan to continue on and do all 365 days. And we'll probably do a little update at the end of the year once the project is complete. So thanks for listening. And once again, remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys.